Last week we started our new series called Pay Attention. Pay Attention. I said, you know, my dad used to say when I was young, he'd say, son, you need to pay attention. It's the only thing you can afford to do right now. Right? Pay attention? You know, like pay? I'm too broke to do anything but pay attention. Anyway, so we started talking about that. We'll get right off into that today. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to set this down over here. I probably should have turned my microphone off before I did that. What do you think?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to open up in Hebrews chapter 2 and Proverbs chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 2 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. In the King James Version, it says, the Holman Class Christian Standard Bible, it says, we must therefore pay more attention. Earnest heed is to pay attention, okay? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by us who heard him? Paying attention will help us. We talked last week, really got more into how that paying attention to the Word of God actually can extend our lives. By doing what God said, we can extend our lives here on the earth, right? And we talked about Paul in the book of Philippians. He said, whether I'll stay or whether I'll go, I have not decided yet. Because it's for me, it's better to go. But for you, it's better that I stay here because you need me yet. Right? So Paul seemed to indicate in Philippians that we have a choice on when it's time to go and how long we're going to stay. Right? And what was he making his basis on? What was better for other people? Right? He said, it's far better for you if I stay. Jesus, on the other hand, said, it's far better for you if I go because then I can send you the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Pay more careful attention, lest the things we've heard, we drift away from. Lest we drift away from what we've heard. In other words, if we don't pay attention to the things that we've been taught, if we don't pay attention to what the Word of God has spoken to us, if we're not paying attention and keeping the Word of God in front of us, we can drift away from it. Isn't that really what happened when we look and we see the entire lifespan of Israel from its inception to the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD was that they kept drifting away. They kept going out after other gods and not putting the Word of God first. So they kept going out after other things. Here is the same kind of notion, is that we have to keep the Word of God ever before our faces. Otherwise, we will drift away. And right now, in this time frame where we're at, I don't think we can afford to drift away a whole lot. We are in the end of days. We talked Wednesday night, the sign of the great sign of the woman in the stars has happened only one other time. That was at the birth of Jesus in 3 BC. And one of the stars then was the planet, and I can't remember which, I think it's Mars or Jupiter is the planet that represents the messenger or the Gabriel was in the crown. This year, instead, it has Regulus in the crown, which is the king planet. This happened one other time. And NASA can look and they can see the signs, they can see the star setups throughout all time, and they go back 7,000 years and that sign has never been there before. It happened in 3 BC, about the time that Jesus would have been born, and it goes out and then it comes retrograde. So over the course of 2 years, they saw it one time, and then when Jesus is 2 years old again, it happens again, and the wise men go, and they follow the star to Bethlehem. Well, it's happening again this year. Signs in the heaven. Jesus referred to that sign as his sign. You always say, go like, I'm Aquarius. Well, you know, no. You know, but Jesus' sign is the great sign of the woman in heaven. And that's happening again this year. It happens actually this month, and it begins on the 23rd of September. Rosh Hashanah begins on the 20th of September. See, God said in Genesis that he gave the stars and the moons and the planets as signs and seasons. These things are all happening. They're not coincidence. They're purposeful. God planned them that way. It's important for us not to forget, hold your place there, James 1:22-24. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. See, here we're being told that we need to remember what kind of people we are. We get in the Word, we get in the mirror of the Word of God, we get the Word of God. The Word of God begins to tell us who we are, right? I'm a child of God. My Father is God, right? I have His Spirit. I've been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Because He who knew no sin became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God. Can I just go out and do as the righteousness of God anything I want to and just, you know, I just spend, you know, Monday through Saturday living for me, and then on Sunday I come to church and then I'm a different person, and then I go out and I have lunch, and you know, as soon as you get out there and you know, we're coming into Apple Hill season, and you're going to have the traffic going down the hill and the traffic coming up the hill, and you'll be like, oh my God, you're like, what was that back route? And, you know, people are cutting you off, and pretty soon you've forgotten what kind of man you are, because your, you know, hand on the horn, you know, you stupid, you know, we forget what kind of person we are, right? It's easy. The flesh has strong pullings on it. Listen, I do that sometimes too, okay? I'm not perfect. But we have to always come back to the mirror. What kind of person am I? I'm a born-again child of God. I'm not the world. I'm a born-again child of God. I have a destiny and a place in heaven. We're singing the song this morning, and that verse in the Old Rugged Cross, where I'll go with him and I'll share his glory forever. Everybody on this planet doesn't have that destiny. You do. I do. We have the destiny of ruling and reigning forever with Christ in heavenly places. I've read the end of the book. I mean, you know, the first like three or four chapters of Revelation, no brainer. The last two or three chapters of Revelation, no brainer. A lot of that stuff in the middle, it gets confusing. But I understand from people who've studied, it's really not that confusing if you understand the symbolism. So, but I've read the end of the book. You know, we're going to be with him forever. He's the high priest reigning forever in the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. And it's going to sit there. And it's 1,400 miles high. Imagine that. By 1,400 miles wide. 1,400 miles. It's two-thirds the size of the United States of America. And it's going to go and it's going to sit down in the Middle East. You'll be able to see it. We're going to be with him, ruling and reigning forever. What happens after the thousand-year reign? I don't know. But I'll be with him forever. I'm going to be his glorified child forever. If I forget that, if I walk away from the mirror and I forget that that's the kind of person I am, and then I start trying to be good enough, and I start trying to please everybody around me, and I start just living for myself. Somebody said to me recently, they said, feelings go deep. You know what? Feelings don't get to lead us. My feelings don't get to lead me. If my feelings led me this morning, I'd still be at home in bed. Kathy, I would be the joke. You know, son, you need to get up. You need to get up. I don't want to get up. Well, you have to get up. You have to go to church. I don't want to go. But you're the pastor. That would have been me this morning. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What work? The word. Working the word in our lives. Paul says, "Let work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." There should be, on every aspect of everything that we do as believers, a certain amount of making sure that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do, and not just what I want to do. Because if we're just living for ourselves, then we have forgotten again who we are. I'm a child of God. I've said this before. I have a lot of friends who are really big into the pronunciation of God's names and the different names and how you do, you know, this and that and the other, and I'm of this persuasion. Abba. I just call him Abba. He's my father. I have his spirit in me. That's who I am. That's who he is. I mean, you've seen my kids with me. I mean, they come up and they're just hugging all over me and crazy on me. And I just love that. You know, kids do that. You know, other people's kids come in and they're just like, oh, like, Pastor. And they come and they run and hug me. I love the little kids. And I'm like, Jesus, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I love that. I love that. He is my Abba. Abba means daddy. It doesn't mean dad or father, which is very stiff, but it's daddy, Abba. He's my daddy. If my daddy has something for me to do, I want to do it. If he has something to say to me, I want to hear it. If he wants to just go hang out, I want to do it. Last night we're watching TV and Josiah, we're watching part of the original trilogy. If you don't know, that's Star Wars. it's the original trilogy. And he loves Star Wars, and he comes up and he crawls up on my lap, and he's like, I mean, he's bundled up on my lap under a blanket watching Star Wars with me. I'm his daddy. He comes to me, he feels safe. He wakes up in the middle of the night, and he comes to us, and he's like a little he's like a little spider monkey. He comes in and he wraps every tentacle he has around you because it makes him feel safe. God is our Abba. He's our daddy. He's the one we can go to make us feel safe. No one else can make us feel safe the way that he can. No one else can make us feel accepted the way that he can. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In everything we do, we have to acknowledge him, paying attention to what he's doing, paying attention to what he's saying, paying attention to where he's leading us. Because when we're paying attention to him, when we're heeding his word, when we're listening directly and explicitly to him, he's leading all of our paths. He's directing everything we do. The confession is, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what God called me to do. Will not change God, but it will change me. Because if I'm not currently doing that, if it's my confession and my belief that if I say, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, saying what I'm supposed to say, then that's going to line me up with God so that in that course, I change. Then I start to hear. Because my confession now is, I lean only on him and not my own understanding. I do exactly what he wants me to do. Listen, we can live our lives and we go to work and we do all these other things. But in the midst of that, I lean only on him. Amen. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. That means when somebody comes across your path, you have an opportunity to minister to them. You have an opportunity to share your testimony with them. How God sets you free. How that being led by God has changed your life. How that by putting the word of God first has changed your life. Come on, I used to be a mess. I wasn't even a hot mess, honey. I was just a mess. Come on. God can take somebody who is hooked on drugs, hooked on meth, send them to Teen Challenge and put them in a position to be a pastor. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't do that on my own. I was talking to somebody else about, I don't remember who it was or when, but we're talking about cigarettes, and you know, so-and-so had, you know, been a smoker or something, and I said, oh, I was too, and then you know, I chain-smoked all the way into Teen Challenge from Santa Maria to Bakersfield, and then God just supernaturally delivered me from the cigarettes because I was being obedient to him. I didn't go through withdrawals or anything. That's a testimony. Do you know how many people just instantaneously get delivered from cigarettes? I don't. I'm the only person I know. Oh, Jim, Matt, see? God, look, come on. God can supernaturally deliver people. Right? He can set us free. The world can't do that. They can give you a patch. They can give. My aunt, she quit smoking so many times. And it took her 3 years. She was still chewing the Nicorette for 3 years after quitting smoking. It was longer than that. Well, that last time. God can supernaturally deliver us. And then that is our testimony. That is our witness that we have from God that he did something for us. He did something for you he hasn't done for someone else. And that's a testimony. Because here's the other end of that testimony. What he did for me, he will do for you. He's no respecter of persons. We just have to put him first. If we put him first in everything we do, then he's going to bless the path that we walk on. That's what we read from Deuteronomy. This week's Torah portion is about the children of Israel they're getting ready to go into the promised land. God is preparing them, and he stands before them again, and he tells them again, you've got to do things my way, not your way. As you go in, as you go into the promised land, as we go into the promised land of being children of God, we've got to do things his way. Because when we do things his way, when we ordain all of our steps to follow after him, when we're putting the word of God first, he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Come on, that's a natural reward and a natural blessing for being obedient to God, for being obedient to his word, is that he's going to strengthen your body. He's going to give life to you. That's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if that is like the only benefit of following after God is that you have strength in your body, how many of you could use some strength in your body? Come on, right? We all need some strength in our bodies. He will do it. 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages or voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Voices in the world. There's the voice of your flesh. There's the voice of your mind, your own mind. There's the voice of your mama, the voice of your daddy, the voice of your husband, the voice of your wife, the voice of your children, the voice of your boss, the voice of the television, the voice of the news. And all of them are saying something to you. Your car has a voice. It says, I need gas. Your wallet has a voice. It says, I don't have much money right now, and I need to eat lunch too. Everything has a voice. There's all these things in the world that are constantly bombarding us, all these things that are constantly telling us. How about you're worthless? Some people had parents who said, you're worthless. You're never going to amount to anything. You're not good enough. Horrible voices. You'll never amount to much. You can't hear God. Yes, you can. Yes, you are valuable. No, you're not worthless. No, there's not no point to your life. Yes, God can use you. Yes, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. God can use you. Look, he's using me. He used a donkey, didn't he? Balaam? Balak? That donkey? Why do you keep hitting me? I'll tell you what, you know, donkey starts talking to you, you better listen. You better listen. When God is always speaking in here. If I say God never speaks to me, if you say God never speaks to me, I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you opened this? Because this is him speaking to you most assuredly. This is the more sure word of prophecy. This cannot fail. If we do what this says, this becomes who we are. This becomes the mirror that we look and we find ourselves in it. This is always valuable. This is always God speaking to me. Right now, chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, Lord, I pursue love. And I pursue prophecy. You said to do it, so I'm going to do it. Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You ever talk to somebody, they got no love in them? And they're trying to tell you how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to behave. Yeah. And you'd be like, yeah. I'm sorry, no, uh-uh. You don't get to tell me what to do. No way. You know what I'm saying? The world doesn't get to tell you what a Christian is like. If they'd be on TV, on the news channel, telling you that Christians ought to be like this or Christian, I'm sorry, but if you haven't opened this and you're not telling me from here what it says a Christian ought to do, you don't get that voice. You don't get to be that voice in me. I don't have to listen to the voice that says that you don't have any money.
You don't get to be my king.
That's right. She said, you don't get to be my king. People got, you know, you get all caught up in politics. Some people like a socialist government. Some people like a communist government. I'm sorry, I haven't seen anybody, you know, running away from America to go join, you know, Venezuela. You know, good luck to that. They're in such great. The only government that really matters is God's government. He's a king. He's the king. If the king tells you to do something, you do it. In our case, our king is a benevolent king. He's a loving king. He's our father. We're part of that great kingdom of priests. We're part of his kingdom. He's the king. Most people have never really been taught to pay attention. It's hard to learn to pay attention. Because you have to work at it. You know, children today, we're just as guilty of this as anybody else. Our kids have got devices. They've got devices. And studies will tell you that the more time your children spend on devices, the harder it is for them to pay attention. Because everything, like my dad says with movies today, and you know, I love, you know, a good superhero movie like Iron Man or, you know, those movies like that. He says, how was the movie? He says, well, there was lots of music, there was lots of motion, and there was lots of color. And that's really, when we're looking at these devices all the time, we're watching somebody else do something. We're not engaged in our own mind. We're not learning to focus and pay attention. I would never want to go back to the time before cell phones. I wouldn't want to do that. I love my iPad. I like being able to Google. We were talking yesterday, and my wife said something to me, and I said, I don't know, you've got two devices right there. Why don't you Google it? She's like, oh, okay. She's so eager to share. We're not lacking in devices. I remember you used to really have to pay attention when you were studying the Bible. Because if you didn't understand something, you had to pull out the 80-pound Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And you'd take it out and drop it on the table, and it sounded like a person passing out on a deck. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's big. I mean, you couldn't just carry it with you to Bible study. It was huge. I mean, and you'd have to look through, and you're going fine. Well, the root word of that is this. Well, I've got Strong's Exhaustive Concordance on my devices. I've got Interlinear Bible. Man, it's so easy to study the Bible now. I mean, they just make it so easy. Everything's right there at your fingertips. I wouldn't want to go back before that because it's hard. But this is, you know, they make it so easy. But at the same time, now we've got these devices and we've got social media. We've got Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, I'm famous I on Facebook. I try not to post more than 3 things a day. But because somebody told me, I was here for a few months and somebody said, "You post a lot on Facebook." I was like, "Oh." Okay, so, you know, that's a voice that still speaks in my head that just... You know, if I ask you to do something and it's not in your heart to do it, you just tell me no. You don't have to make an excuse. You don't have to, if I say, I need someone to work in children's church. Well, no, you know, right now, you know, we've got so much going on. No, I can't right now. It's perfectly fine. You don't need to explain to me. Because we all need to be led by God. If God's not leading you to do something, then don't do it. Because doing it out of a sense of obligation. Now listen, to say this, okay, there are things that need to be done. And as adults, we need to step in sometimes and do them. And we need to do things to help things move along. Right? But there's it's not my calling. That's not my calling. But I prayed about it, and the Lord told me to do it for a season. You know, I came in yesterday. I love to have the chairs a certain way. And I think I get that from our first pastor. He was a military guy. He'd come in and he had just like dots on the carpet where the chairs had to line up with. I'm not quite that bad. But I think if you're going to come in on Sunday, you probably want to sit in clean chairs. So I come in yesterday and I vacuumed the chairs and I straightened up the rows. Because I like that. That's my thing. I feel like that's something that I can do. So I do it. Is it my calling? No, I hate cleaning.
Dishes.
I hate it. But you know what? We do things sometimes because we need to do them. Other times we do things because it's our calling. But in everything we do, we have to be doing it in being led by God, in paying attention. Is this what you want me to do? So I can ask, I asked someone if they would consider doing something, and you know, they got back to me today and they said, you know, I'm still thinking about it. No pressure. What if that person isn't really geared towards that? Or what if, you know, we had, back before Deb came on as our worship leader, we had a Sunday where we didn't have anybody. And I went out and I found Deb and I said, well, what do you think? And she says, no, I wouldn't be comfortable doing that this week. It's okay, I can tattle on you, which is fine. And so I'm over here at the church and I'm with Kyle Moody, and he's telling me, well, it's easy, you can do this and you can just sing this song. I'm like, no, you don't want me singing. We'll do a CD, it'll be fine. See? There are things that you just know it's not your thing. But at the same time, be led by God. Because God can still use somebody who's being obedient to him. Sometimes when God speaks to us and says to do something, it's so that we know that we're being obedient. It's so that we know that we're listening to God. And, you know, Kathy, she did Royal Rangers Missionettes, and they had the youngest group, I forget what it's called, don't remember. It's rainbows. It was the rainbows. And they needed somebody to do the rainbows. And Kathy's like, I don't. Let me pray. So she prayed and she came back and did it. She was the only person they had as a teacher for that group while she was there that could keep those kids under control. The only one. God used her to help keep that group of kids controlled. Because that's like the little group. They're like the 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. Do you know they don't really like to pay attention? That's something that is, they are not, it's not something that comes natural for 4, 5, and 6-year-olds is paying attention. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God is an indicator that you're a son of God, a child of God. If you can look at something and say, you know, Rachel, she's not here right now, but I've been praying for someone to play piano because Bev has been so sick and she's having a hard time with her recovery, so I'm praying for someone to play piano. Well, we started Wednesday night services, and our first Wednesday night, Rachel's up there, and she's got these little numbers on the piano, on the keys. And I'm thinking, okay. Well, you know, and she comes in this morning. And her husband, I don't know if you know Chuck. Chuck is working like 13 and a half hour days, and he has to drive down to Sacramento and be there at 2:30 in the morning. And, you know, it's not an easy job. But they want to be here and help and do the worship. And so she comes in this morning, and I keep calling her my piano player. Because originally when she started, I'd say, well, you know, she's not really a piano player. You know, she's, you know, doing this. But, man, I'm telling you what. I mean, the more and more she does it, because she's just being led by the Spirit. Right?
She does.
She's just being led by the Spirit to do this. Because she wants to be a help. It's not her thing. She literally does not know how to play the piano. She'd never played the piano. But she and Chuck put the numbers and the colors on the piano keys, and she plays along, and she just knows, and she says, if you want me to play, you have to get me the song list by Monday. She said, because it takes a lot of practice for me to get these little keys down, and she's only doing a few of them. But come on, every week she just keeps getting better and better and better. What is God doing with her? She's learning how to play the piano. She's being led by the Spirit. What else is she doing? She's being a blessing to the church, isn't she? It's a blessing, right? Sometimes we do things. We have no clue how we're going to do it. I remember when I was in Teen Challenge, and they said, okay, everybody has to give a 10-minute devotional. I'm like, in front of everybody? And there's like 100 people here. And you've got to get up and give a 10-minute. I'd never spoken in front of anybody. I was shy. I know it's hard to imagine, right? I was shy. I am by nature, I'm an introvert. After church on Sundays and going out to lunch, I go home and lay down on my bed for an hour or two by myself to recharge, because that's how introverts recharge, is by being by themselves. Extroverts recharge by being with everybody else. I'm an introvert. Kathy's an extrovert. We make each other look good. We're complimentary to each other. And yet, here I am. I'm a pastor in a public speaking position. All the time. I told the girls, they came back this morning into my office, and everybody wants to come into my office, and we're all talking, and she's got the cutest little tattoo from Apple Hill on her arm, and we're talking. I said, well, I'm kind of nervous about going out there today. She said, you are? And I said, yeah, but maybe if I go out with you, I'll be okay. So sweet. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up for today. Is this okay? Are we doing okay here? Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you lead us away by your Spirit into the things that you have for us. You lead us from depression into joy. You lead us from sickness into health. You lead us from despair to joy. Hallelujah. You lead us in everything we do. Father, we just ask right now for a special anointing right now on every person here to just be supernaturally led by your Spirit today and through this oncoming week. And I bless them, I anoint them for service unto you, in Jesus' name, amen.